Well, it's such a pleasure to see you, and thanks for spending some time with us to talk about Vision and Michael Ascher.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, we've, you know, Stella and me, we're working on a really selective Michael Ascher survey, and we're really interested in the way that he worked in collaboration with people like yourself to realize projects. You know, that often his work did rely on some real overt collaboration to manifest these kind of, you know, wild ideas, like the, what he did for Vision. So we just thought to talk about it with you and kind of learn from you a bit is really interesting.
It was in Vision number one, 1975, published by Crown Point Press. I was the editor. And on page 42 and 43 were the pages given to Michael Ascher, because I invited 12 artists from San Francisco and 12 artists from Los Angeles to have works on this issue on California. And he wanted to have his pages glued together. In other words, it would be invisible art, in other words. And so it was between, I think, Ed Ruscha and Bruce Nauman, who were the pages before and after him. And the only way you knew that Michael Ascher was there was by looking in the index and seeing he was on page 42. And when you got to, when you started to go through the magazine, you realized that page was thicker than all the other pages, because that's the only way you could tell it was glued together, because of its size, you know. And then in every issue after that, there was an original artwork by an artist. The one on Eastern Europe had a rubber stamp stamped on each page that said it was Radomir Damjan. He was a Yugoslavian artist, and that was the issue on Eastern Europe. Then the issue on New York, the original artwork was by Walter DiMaria, and he had 8 pages of buff-colored paper that with his name printed on the 7th page, and otherwise it was just the paper. Was his art, was his contribution to the piece, you know. So that's how we had an original artwork in each issue.
When Ascher did this, did that give you the idea for the original artworks, or were you already thinking that?
Oh, did I know there'd be an original artwork in each issue? No, because of Michael Asher's piece that turned out to be an original artwork, then I decided to have an original in each issue.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I know you started the magazine with Kath Ann Brown. I'm interested in this focus on regional artists and how you came to Michael Ascher for the first. I know that was California, focused on all California artists.
It's been my mission since 1970, when I founded the Museum of Conceptual Art, to do projects that define conceptual art. So basically, I invited with a couple of exceptions, they were all conceptual artists in all of the issues that we did.
Oh, you know, he's between Doug Wheeler and Bruce Nauman. I just looked it up.
Yeah, it was Doug Wheeler. You're right.
When Ascher proposed this, did you have to ask Wheeler and Nauman for their permission, or could you just do it as a Michael Ascher project on its own?
No, I asked everybody to give me 2 pages. So in this case, the artists designed their own pieces. So everything in this issue was designed by the artist for this publication. So I guess it's site-specific.
Did the artist know what all the other contributions were before the magazine was published?
No.
It was just published and then they had a copy?
No, nobody knew who the other artists were, yeah, ahead of time. They trusted me that I knew who the good artists were.
So when Ascher proposed this project, can you talk about how you guys decided on the glue and then actually who did the gluing and how it was put together?
Well, I glued every page. I opened the magazine and sprayed the glue on the pages and then closed the book. Spray glue.
And how many copies?
1,000. There's 1,000 issues. They were numbered too. So the publication was numbered. So if you got the Vision number one, you got a numbered edition, like a print, you know, because Crown Point is a print publisher. So it was like a little bit of an extension of Crown Point Press and my Museum of Conceptual Art.
Ascher seemed really interested in the fact that it was standard legal paper. Was that a decision that you would use this size of standard legal paper as the trim size of the magazine?
Yes, well, I'm obsessed, or I was then, with the proportions of the golden rectangle, which comes out of sacred geometry, the golden mean. So when you open the magazine, then it becomes a square, more or less. So it's oblong magazine.
Was each issue this dimension?
The first three issues were the same dimension. Then the fourth issue was phonograph records on an island, and we invited 12 artists, including Marina Abramovic, her first time out of over here. And I discovered Marina Abramovic in 74 in Yugoslavia. And Chris Burden and Bruce Nauman and Joan Jonas and Laurie Anderson and a lot of great artists were in that issue. They all gave 12-minute talks that were recorded on phonograph records. So the fourth issue was phonograph records. Fifth issue was artist photographs. 56 artists from 16 different countries. They were all conceptual artists that contributed a photo piece. And that was the last issue in 1981. But then just 2 years ago, we decided to do another issue on food and art, because we're all foodies here in San Francisco, you know. And so it's San Francisco artists, recipes and like that.
How did you come up with the name Vision for the magazine?
Well, it just seems to apply to visual artists, you know.
It's funny because Asher's contribution also applies to touch and tactility in a way that is very, maybe anti-vision, or not anti-vision, but vision plus.
I consider invisible art to be visual. Because Eve Klein invented invisible art, and I'm a big follower of Eve Klein. So I like invisible art. I like art that even art you don't have to see, like Robert Barry, you know, he does invisible art. So it's in that line.
When you got Asher's proposal, he did have pretty specific instructions about like dry mounting it. Did you do a lot of tests before publishing the actual magazine?
No, it's just spray the glue on the page and close the book.
Did Asher ever say anything about how he thought it turned out? I think we read in his notes that he was really proud of it, but I don't know if you had any conversations with him about the result.
No, not very much. He was very kind of a quiet guy. We didn't communicate much.
Obviously, all the other contributions are more text-based and more about reading, but Asher's is not that. Maybe you could say something about that contrast or how they work in relation to Asher's, which is very different.
Yeah, but a lot of them were language art pieces, you know, which is, a very New York conceptual art. And California is more body culture, so it's more experiential. And there's mainly a difference between California and New York. And one piece by Larry Bell was he had his girlfriend do illustrations of a lot of his glass sculptures, large-scale stand-up sculptures. So that was not text. But you know, Bruce Nauman and Ed Ruscha and Lawrence Wiener and a lot of them were text pieces, yeah, most of them. But not San Francisco artists. Because we're not so literary in San Francisco, in California, as New York.
I am very curious how Wheeler and Nauman perceived Asher's contribution in the end, just because theirs literally subsume his in a way that is pretty interesting. But you never talked to them.
No, they just sent me the work, and Ed Ruscha sent me a letter saying that. He wanted to make sure I didn't publish his letter to me, because he says that's what conceptual artists do, you know. So he had a chip on his shoulder about conceptual art at that time, you know. He doesn't anymore. We're friends now, you know. We're good friends, Sam.
Cool. Well, Jay, do you have any other questions?
No, I think this is really perfect. Yeah, Tom, thanks so much. This is really perfect.
Okay. You're welcome.